CITR and Discorder are hiring a new station manager. Just asking for a friend, but if I know someone who would be great for this position, how would they apply? Well, you can email Eleanor at volunteer@CITR.ca or Hala at president@CITR.ca if you have any questions, and the full job description is on the CITR and Discorder website. If your friend thinks they can handle all this, then they should send a resume and cover letter to Hala Bertrand at president@CITR.ca by Friday, March 3rd.
Do you want to voice this one?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Do you want me to voice it?
I can voice
it.
Yeah, please voice this one.
Strutting in the heels or her slides, either way, eyes on her every single day, week, year, everyone wondering how she does it with no fear of that confidence. Was it heaven sent? Does it come within? Does it come run out? I don't know. She'll just have them running out and in. Man, they want to sin, talking deadly sin with Mrs. Lady. I don't understand why she hit them like
Good morning. It's Thursday, May 3rd. And you're live with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver's radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And for the next hour, I'll be taking you down my path. That was my Sago with Tadao. That song came out a few months ago, but I feel like I just resurrected it in my life. I feel like I needed it. We're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here live from UBC's campus. And if this is your first time listening to this show, what we'd like to do here is talk a little bit about some local news, a little bit about some national news, some news down south, some news that will make you go, you'll be well informed into the weekend, and you'll feel more confident talking to your friends about probably some things that you should know. Maybe you won't. Sometimes we have some guests on here. Sometimes, people are obliged enough to wake up early and come into the studio and be asked a few questions by me. Sometimes we pre-record these interviews. Sometimes we just have some friends call in. I'm fortunate to have some really, really smart friends who like to contribute their ideas to my show. We got a lot to get to you today. And if you know, we like to start with the weather. This is like the time, like if you are listening in Vancouver, let's say it's like 7:07, you might be getting in the shower. Maybe you're standing over the stove, whipping up some breakfast for yourself. You can get a really nice outlook on what the weekend is going to look like. And if you're not in Vancouver, let's say you're in the central time zone or you're in the eastern time zone and you're at work, probably at a job that you don't like, and you're just trying to figure out, maybe Issa's got the secrets and those are the steps that it's going to take for me to quit my job. Unfortunately, I don't have those secrets, and radio probably doesn't either. However, listening to the show, maybe you might find some inspiration, and that's all I can hope to do. But now I'm just going to stun on you, because this is the time when we talk about the Vancouver weather, for the past few months. We talk about how much it's been raining and how it's cold and how it just can't be warm and dry on the same day. But we're getting into the part of the seasons where it is warm and dry and sunny all on the same day. And you're just going to have to hear me gloat. Today, the high will be 20 degrees, 0% chance of precipitation. Friday will be 14 and cloudy. Saturday, Sunday will be 19 and 22 and sunny, respectively. So if you have, you've been waiting to do a hike this weekend, I'm sure the Chief will be pretty packed, but you should try it out anyways. Monday and Tuesday will also be nice. So if you get sick at work, and you can, decide to take those days off as well, because Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we are back to rain. However, it's got a very, very low percent chance of precipitation, so you could luck out and be spared. The rest of the week just looks pretty similar. I feel like we're in the time where we're in the upper teens and low 20s. So, if you haven't been to Vancouver, this probably would be the time when you would, decide to visit. So, we got a lot to get to you today. There's a lot going on here in Vancouver. Not just the low, the normal news cycle here in Vancouver, where we talk about housing and we talk about homelessness and we talk about drugs. Not that those things are not important, because I feel like I don't mean to minimize them every time I say it like that here in Vancouver, that those are the things that we that are continuously in a news cycle every week. Those are just, I forgot about the pipeline. Those are just the This is just the concerns that are very important to here in BC. And so not only are they consistently in the news, but there's something going on with them every week. But now we can throw weed into the mix, cannabis, because, you know, as we get closer and closer to legalization, we are seeing more and more hurdles. You can also throw the pipeline in the mix because with the consistent, you know, protests that have been taking place over the past few years, we've seen that maybe people are starting to listen to the people, and, you know, their requests are being adhered to. Let's just jump right into some local news, because I find this story to be not just hilarious, but something I would have never had expected. So if you didn't know, in Surrey, there is a growing peacock problem. There's feral peacocks that are just roaming the streets of Surrey, wreaking havoc. And this is so many things about the story. It's interesting to me. It's the fact that I didn't even know there were peacocks just chilling in Surrey, like it just in Vancouver. Like, I feel like that makes it much cooler. And then finding out that these peacocks used to be pets, and then I guess they broke free, and then they started out as like 10 peacocks, and now they're at to like 150. And the authorities don't have any like remedy for these peacocks. So when the community calls in and says that there's an issue, they don't really have anything to do because they can't just go in and kill the peacocks or try to move them. Because these peacocks apparently are gangster AF. And so it's continuing to be a problem. If you didn't know, peacocks are not native to British Columbia. Peacocks are native to Surrey. They're native to Sri Lanka and India. And it's pretty amazing that these just exist, because I feel like when you go to the zoo and you look at peacocks, you just don't understand how a peacock could exist in the wild. Like, what type of bird is that? You know, is it delicious? I don't know. Maybe that could be part of the solution, is we could do a trip and find out, do peacocks taste as good as they look? But I don't know if you'd even want to kill the peacocks, because from what I have read, peacocks are pretty smart, and they'll manage to, like, you can't even trap the peacocks because they're too smart. So it looks like we're going to have a peacock problem, and, you know, my feelings about these animals, that if one of these peacocks decides, you know, that it's my time, then it's my time. Like, we talked about geese last week about attacking that golfer in Michigan, and I feel that over the past week, not only have I've just seen geese more just in my immediate proximity, but they've been close enough for me to touch, but not haven't attacked me. So I feel as if maybe these geese have, like, maybe the geese listen to the radio show. I understand that they might not be able to call in, but they're listening and understanding that, you know, I'm a friend. So hopefully these peacocks can understand too. And when they decide to attack, that they overlook me. Moving on to a more serious story. One thing I can never understand is that when there is a government project, there's always like some cost readjustment, and the cost readjustment is never like a reasonable cost readjustment. So if you live in the Metro Vancouver area and you know about TransLink wanting to expand its Millennium Line, so basically creating a SkyTrain line from UBC down the Broadway corridor and connecting with Canby, so that we can have like a really robust transit system, because while the transit system here is great, you know, the buses come on time, which I feel like is something that is underrated. Buses come on time when they say they will. The a lot of the buses are running on electricity, and so is the SkyTrain, is that it doesn't go all the way east to west. UBC and the west side of Vancouver is pretty unaccessible from SkyTrain. It takes a long time to get here. But the Millennium Line was going to change that. And the CEO yesterday was answering questions about why the increase to the cost has gone up $1 billion. Now, I feel that somebody should get fired because I feel it's, I could never, it wasn't, it's only supposed to cost like a few billion dollars, like $2 or $3 billion to begin with. So if it's gone up $1 billion, that's like a 33% cost increase. I feel that the individual who is in charge of calculating the projected cost of this project should be fired because that is just gross incompetence to your job. Or maybe the company that bid on the project should have to eat a $1 billion cost, because I just don't see how the public can gain any confidence. Well, I don't think the public has any confidence, but basically, the public continues to lose confidence in government systems, and not only just here, but all over. And it's things like this where you just don't believe the numbers that the government is telling you. Everything is always inaccurate. And so a $1 billion cost, I feel that somebody's head should roll. And if you listen to the radio and you are the individual who I think should be fired, and you would like to defend yourself, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. Or maybe you are, maybe you know him, and you don't think he should be fired. You can tell me why. I'm going to listen to some music. When we get back, I'm going to tell you some more things that you should know.
So don't put me down, God, I got big plans, quicksand, big pants, go ahead and licks, man. I've been waiting on my shot like a six man. I just wanna smoke weed when it's lit, man. Wanna stare at TMC like shit, man. Caught a pub like damn, it's a sip, man. Then channel hit me up like a slip, man. You're nominated for a Grammy, what's in fit, fam? Tell them big Gucci gang, gang. And everybody knows Twista be on the same thing. Taylor so high, she link up with paper plane gang. I've been doing this since backpacks and fake chains. Ain't no celebrities open up until the game chains. All these niggas just wanna rap like wrist spring. I've been running shit behind the scenes like AA. All access, like backrest. Still bumping slow jams on my dash, yeah. Money coming in TVE, sounding like the ad lib. Me and Bianca got the recipe for disaster. Come to TVE if you wanna own your master, so you can take flight and make money after.
When you cater to me, know that you my favorite. Ooh, it's soothing love how you love me with no makeup. Eat the cake up when I wake up. Take up all of my time. You know I ain't got time for them other niggas. Wait up, got a real lady. What's that kind of psycho? If you hit it right, you might make me hit a high note. I told you together we shining, finding the diamond, that's perfect timing. And she from the hood, popo get the knocking me, no habla English. Running down the right, you know secrets, promise to show you off, no secrets. Used to get in trouble, stayed up late nights on the phone, high school crush, but see now we fully grown. Treat me like bad credit, can't leave me alone. Got his mental in the sky, like an angel in the sky. So baby, let's get high.
When I pull up, I ask if you got some papers on you. I gotta have it aromatic or the zigzags with a big bag of gelato. When I know you be holding the OG and OB Kenobi, so they hating on you. Yeah. Give it a little bit of an effect as I hit in the trip and go into another dimension of the mind. Where? I'm into the divine, so now I feel like I'm kind of bogus the way I'm all into her behind. Damn. That's what the cookies do. Right. And when I smoke it, I'ma show you how to act a fool. Right. Let you hit it, then I hit it again after you. Right. The way we blowin' made me feel like we compatible. If sex is what's next, then let me play up in it. Ooh. Take you to a dispensary, spend a day up in it. Yeah. They gon' let me stay up in it cause I know they the business. I hit a beat and lay up in it like I was Taylor Bennett. Look at my feet, I'm never up in them. They were vintage. Feel it fresh with a smile as I flow. Eyes low like I'm sleep. Can I feel them like I'm intergalactic when I'm hiding? I be macking to a hole like I'm deep. Ooh. Peep. Had a moon rock, tied us up for a minute looking at the wall. And take a look at the way that I act off of the wax. I feel like I shouldn't have hit it at all. Twist.
So high, so high, so high.
And where we gonna be? This who I've been waiting for. I don't think y'all know yet. This who y'all been waiting for too. Without a further ado, I would like to formally introduce Bianca Shaw to the Taven Entertainment family. And where we going? All the way up.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR Vancouver radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. If you can call in for anything, but if you call in to defend this individual from getting fired, because I feel that the public needs more, you know, straight answers. That's what we need. And we're not getting those from Justin Trudeau. So if you know, if you knew that marijuana was supposed to be federally legalized on July 1st, and it's interesting for me because while I have been for marijuana legalization, I feel like my whole life, I think that even before, like, I started smoking weed, I felt like I just knew that there's nothing wrong, that it shouldn't be criminal. And so since 2000 and, like, basically 2014, 2015, we've seen marijuana legalization, like, sweep through the states. We've seen here in British Columbia where it has been very lax on, like, cannabis and weed, whatever you'd like to call it, has been very lax here for decades. And now that Canada is going to federally legalize it, it seems to be starting a lot of conversations around, like, what are some of the negatives of legalization? And when we say the negatives of legalization, not talking about, like, what type of effects that it's going to have on the populace, from abusing weed. No, this is just more about, like, what are some of the, like, negative externalities that people hadn't thought about when it comes to the government federally legalizing it and maintaining, like, a huge stake in, like, the regulations and how it works. And one of those is how it affects the bylaws. So right now there's no laws against like smoking weed in public or smoking weed in a vehicle or smoking weed anywhere pretty much because it's illegal. So there's no laws against doing it. But when it becomes legalized, like I sail a lot, and while you can get a DUI on the boat if you're driving drunk, so if you're blowing, you know, if you blow a anything, basically, I think it's a zero tolerance policy. But if you blow anything, you can get a DUI on a boat. But with the legalization of marijuana, if anyone is smoking on your boat, then the driver can get a DUI. Which, so the driver doesn't even have to be caught smoking, and it can still get a DUI. Like, that's, I feel like that is something that's going to be applied to cars as well. So I think that people should be on the lookout for those types of laws. But also, like, on the beach, you know, you can, people smoke regularly on the beach. It's like the thing to do here in the summertime when it's, you know, 25 degrees and sunny. And the police officers can come up and tell you, you know, hey, maybe you shouldn't smoke next to these kids. And, you know, while that's common courtesy, you can put it out. But now there will be a fine associated because there will be a law that you are breaking. And the same thing goes to how it's handled with, in regards to, like, the indigenous population, the regulation, particularly on their lands, and the, like, how it's policed in their, you know, in the reservations, and also them being excluded from business. And so some senators have recommended that we delay legalization to make sure that everyone is being accounted for and everyone can participate in the benefits that this new industry is going to bring. And it's interesting because while Justin Trudeau has pledged to, I guess, make nice with the First Nations population, he has also pledged to make sure marijuana was federal, federally legalized 2 years ago. So he's like under a lot of pressure to make sure that he can fulfill both sides of his agreement, because I feel that as if right now people are coming to understand that Justin Trudeau is doing a lot of nothing. And, you know, and the Liberals have like a very weak standing here. It feels like since 2015. So it'll be interesting to see, like, if they continue to push back legalization, what does that actually do? Not just for, you know, the bylaws and like everybody get every year and the ability to get everything in order before legalization happens, but also how it affects these Canadian political parties moving forward, particularly as we've seen the Liberal Party and Justin Trudeau been blocked by BC opposition to the Kinder Morgan pipeline. And over this earlier this week, the Kinder Morgan pipeline has started to lay off workers. So they think they've laid off like 20 workers as they've tried to cut spending, because it's clear that this pipeline is not moving forward to BC anytime soon, as we see tens of thousands of protesters literally every time they try to set up and start, you know, kick off something. And it's really amazing how the people continue to come out and continue to show out for for the pipeline and stand up for the environment. And you see that the BC, not only has the BC people stood up, but also the BC politicians have really stood up and said, you know, stood up to not only just the federal government, but the Alberta premier and the Albertans, you know, who think that they can just shove pipe down, you know, the backside of British Columbia. And, it's, you know, you can see it's not happening. So it's nice. When we get back, we are going to talk a little bit about some really, really big companies coming here or already here in BC and what they are doing to try to help shape the future. We have lots of good music for you, and stay tuned.
Watching from the bleachers, 'cause you can't take the danger.
She wants my $100 bills. She don't want love. She wants my $100 bills. She don't want love. She wants my hundreds.
She only want it if it's hundreds, and she want it if she want it.
She wants my hundreds.
She only want it if it's hundreds, and she want it in abundance.
No, you never knew me then, and you'll never know me now. When bellies are hungry, but there ain't no money, you get it and don't care how.
Be the one everyone likes, just approval till you die. I'm the one they love to hate, I'm the one who will survive. Go and say what you want, you're just a stranger. Watching from the bleachers, 'cause you can't take the danger.
She wants my $100 bills. She don't want love, she wants my $100 bills. She don't want love, she wants my $100 bills.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. So, Amazon is coming to Vancouver, and it's very interesting because they're also going to my hometown, and they're going to bring jobs and potentially higher paying jobs because they will need to try to pool talent from a place that is, I wouldn't say talent poor, but it's talent stretched. You know, like there's a lot of talent here, but it's stretched. So this is seemingly like a great thing for BC, well, especially for BC workers. One, there's going to be 3,000 more jobs that you're going to have access to as if you want to work at Vancouver's Amazon headquarters, or Amazon's Vancouver's headquarters, where it's going to be 416,000 square foot office. And they're going to have jobs all from e-commerce to cloud computing, machine learning, some executive positions. And so it's like pretty great for the workforce here, but also hopefully it's great for salaries, because if you don't know, Vancouver has just like it's almost like a tax of living here, is that salaries are depressed while cost of living is pretty high. It seems to go out of whack, but the median Amazon employee that doesn't work in a warehouse, because the warehouse skews very negative, but the average salary is about $100,000 in the States. And so the average salary for an engineer here in Vancouver is about $61,000. So, you know, there's really a large gap in what the market here, calls for and what Amazon is willing to pay. And it'll be interesting to see, because Amazon will have to increase the average so that they can draw the talent that they need from these companies. And so how will the other companies will respond by raising their rates, raising their salaries? And I feel like it can be a net gain for everyone here in BC. But with the increase in salaries, it's to be seen, are we going to see another increase in rents? And so that's one thing that people are worried about as people come to Vancouver and migrate here to work for Amazon, or maybe the people here, have their salaries increased. You know that talking about rents is one of the main draws here in Vancouver, because how difficult it is not only to find housing, but then to be able to afford it. And then if you want to stay here and not rent your whole life, to buy a house, it just seems impossible, to the point where there are news articles here in Vancouver papers just basically saying that millennials and the next generations have really don't have a shot to owning something, and if your parents don't. So it'd be interesting to see how Vancouver absorbs Amazon, and how what are some of the effects that are going to happen. We won't be able to see those for a few years, but it will be something to look out for. And if you're looking for a new job and you're looking to maybe move to Vancouver, you should check out Amazon, because it looks like there's going to be a lot of great opportunities for you. Going back to the theme about where people are, where companies and people are listening and hearing some of the protests. We talked about this a few months ago, right after the Parkland shootings, where people decided to really make these heavy bands of big brands, not only just big brands, small brands, brands affiliated with gun brands, brands affiliated with the NRA. And so one of those was MEC. MEC is Mountain Equipment Co-op. Very similar to REI in the States, where it's an outdoors company, and they sold Vista equipment. And so Vista is basically a sporting goods. What's a conglomerate? They sell a lot of different brands, from Camelback to some other outdoor brands. If you're that interested, you can look it up. However, they did sell guns, and after the serious pushback and the pressure that MEC and other retailers put on Vista, they have dropped gun manufacturing. They have divested from gun manufacturing. And so while they're still going, I think the NRA convention started today, and it talks about how Vista is still putting on a huge show for the NRA convention, which I feel like, while I'm not like an anti-gun person, but like I think that if you're going to stand by something on principle, you should probably follow through. But I understand the amount of planning that probably goes into that event and the money that's already been spent. But you could consider that a sunk cost. Anyways, they are, so after the NRA convention, where they probably are going to make a boatload of money, they're going to divest from gun manufacturing. So it's interesting to see, like, not only the pressure that people are able to put on these companies, but mostly that that other companies are able to put on, because I don't think Vista makes that switch without, you know, without MEC saying that they're going to drop their products, even like Camel Pack, which I feel like Camel Pack has nothing to do with guns. I feel like I've only owned a Camel Pack once, and I put a bag of wine inside. Probably the best decision I ever made. If you went to Ohio University and you have ever needed to drink your alcohol, but also still have full functionality of your hands, the Camel Pack was the way to go. And if you're just hearing about this life hack, you are a few years late, but you can still catch up because there's always homecoming. So when you see companies drop products that have nothing that aren't associated with guns, but are associated with gun companies, and you know, and then you see these companies change their tune, just know that there's, like, I guess, a little hope that capitalism can change, you know, a few behaviors. I don't have like very much hope, but it is nice to see that, like, through the pipeline and through these protests, these gun protests, that people and companies are taking notice and acting accordingly. Now it'll be interesting to see, like, if maybe in the future these companies will be proactive and not react to pressure. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about some news nationally, particularly, do we root for Kane to win this GOP primary in Tennessee, or do we not root for Kane? Because growing up, he was like one of my favorite wrestlers. And so I feel we're going to get back. Talk about this dilemma that I'm having when we get back.
Gonna be around for me to count on. Is it ever gonna change? Am I gonna feel this way forever? Are you gonna be around for me to count?
Back it off the beam path here on 101.9 CITR Vancouver's radio station. We got a lot to get through in the next 18 minutes, so stay with me. Like, I feel like this is when we get to the jokes here. I feel like talking about Vancouver politics while is very serious. Like, it's like a level of, like, is that really important? Like, we got to get to the important stuff. Like, Kane running for a GOP seat in Knox County, Tennessee, and him running on a platform of lower taxes, education, job creation, infrastructure, transparency, safer communities, and limited government. So basically on all of the talking points of the GOP. And to see Kane on campaign without his mask on, it's kind of scary because he's a big dude. But understanding that his name is Glenn Jacobs, I feel that he has taken a little bit of the mystery out of Kane for me. And I remember when he came, Undertaker's brother, and you just remember, wow, this dude is scary with the red and black, with the, you know, he's got the burnt up face. He was like such a good pro wrestler, like character, that it's not like, Jesse Body Ventura, like I didn't know him as a wrestler. Like, I feel like I know Kane as a wrestler. And it creates a dilemma because I was thinking about, what if Kane was running for, a council seat in my district, and he ran as a GOP. I feel that I would vote for Kane, not because, I align with this party and the ideals that, that he's going to align with this party, but just the idea that, like, I used to root for Kane. Like, I played with Kane in WrestleMania 2000. I feel like, me and Kane have a special connection. And I feel like, maybe there's local politics, the councilman, the seat, maybe it doesn't matter that much. So I probably would vote for Kane because, Kanye taught me to be a free thinker, and not have to blindly follow the Democratic Party. Now, if you hadn't heard, Kanye died last week, and sad. So I feel that, if you saw some of his transgressions over this week, and you thought that maybe, like, ooh, I can't wait until Thursday till I hear what Issa is going to talk about Kanye's transgressions. So just remember that if you listen to the show every week, you know that Kanye West died a week ago on the 28th of February. I mean, 28th of April. And I don't really know who's handling this Twitter account. He said something about slavery being a choice. And then I realized how many people are actually idiots in the world, because when you saw the amount of people who not just like retweeted or said, like, that's interesting, who really did believe that, you just realized, wow, not only are people just really, really stupid, but, our education system is so shitty, excuse my language, is so terrible, that that people actually have to, that this is an actual debate. Like, I realized just like how little people knew about slavery, when I realized how little I knew about slavery, and like I consider my family to have gone like above and beyond what a reasonable family would do to educate their children about Black history in America, and Black, not just in America, but all over, like the New World, like the Caribbean and Africa, and just all the types of history, and not just Black history, but white history as well. Like I consider, like slavery, it's not just Black history; it's white history, where you learn about not just like what it was like, but some of the insane practices that would go on to maintain the power structure. And so to call it a choice is so incredibly disrespectful to all of the people, not just the people who endured slavery, but like year after year and decade after decade, the people who resisted, who sued for their rights, who not only sued, but all the revolts, the runaways, the people maimed. You know, it's very interesting. Like, I follow some Jamaican historians. So if you don't know, like, I have Jamaican descent. And so, like, one of the things that they would do in Jamaica was they would, like, to break not just the, like, paternal figure of the plantation or the tribe, but to literally break the spirits of these slaves. What they would do was they would have the slave cut down a tree at its root. So, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to Jamaica, but it's hot. And it's a sugar, like it was a sugar plantation country. So most of the export was sugar, where if you didn't know, the life expectancy on a sugar plantation was only 7 years. And that's not because they chose it to be 7 years, because the work is so harsh that slaves only lasted 7 years. And if you think about how much a slave was worth at the time, it was like three times the cost of an automobile. So for you to only have a slave and then run that slave ragged in 7 years to the point of death, you know that you had to be making a boatload of money on sugarcane. So, but to get the slaves to do the work that's necessary, they would make a slave cut down a tree, and then tie the slave to the tree, then the master would have sex with the slave, and then have another slave shit in the slave's mouth, all in front of his family and the rest of the plantation, in an effort to not just break him physically and emotionally, like mentally, but to break everyone on the plantation to understand that this is the lengths that people will go through to maintain this profit structure. And so when you see Kanye West talk about, you know, it sounds like 400 years in slavery was a choice, you know, it totally like negates, you know, that type of behavior from white people. And it doesn't allow any narrative where it says that things were so bad that this was the best choice. Better than running away and watching your kids get dismembered. Which happened. You know, there's evidence of pregnant women having their babies cut out while they're still alive, and then hung from a tree, both of them. And so, like, look it up. And so Kanye West died a week ago, and that's really all I have to say about that guy. So this past 2 weeks ago, two men were escorted out of the Starbucks because the manager called police. We talked about this, and yesterday they settled with Starbucks in the city for $1 each, and had officials promise to set up a $200,000 program for young entrepreneurs. I was like, who's advising these people? Because this is probably the stupidest decision I've ever heard in my life. I feel like Starbucks kicks me out and we have some issues, and they have some PR problem where they're going to lead a discussion on racial bias and how not to call the police on black people when there's it's not necessary. And I feel like these dudes could have, one, Why are you trying to be nice to Starbucks? These people have deep pockets. You know, I would have asked for so much money. I would have asked for so much money from Starbucks that they would have thought I was ridiculous. They would have had to laugh and then settle for a few million less. Like, I feel like that $200,000 per person isn't a lot. And it's not even $2,000 per person. This is $200,000 that is going to go to a young entrepreneur's incubator. And I don't know if these guys have watched how government works, but I just told you about how the TransLink SkyTrain cost just went up by $1 billion. What do you think is going to happen when this government agency tries to set up this freaking incubator? The administrative costs are going to eat up every last bit of that $200,000. And not only are young entrepreneurs not going to get any money, but you basically just put money right back into the hands of the politicians. So they basically stole from the public. They're going to take money from taxpayer dollars and then find a way to put it in their own pockets. So on this last, so we're going to take a musical break and then we're going to come back. Stay with us.
Still I wait up, lonely in the canyon, no love. There's no love reflecting in the glow. $1 million man, show me your cup, baby, come clean. Come out of your smoke screen if you really love me. Open my eyes, babe, you burn me. Your kiss is salty, crawling.
Back at Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver's radio station. And if you hadn't heard, I think that you should really look into this Redskins story. We're going to just touch briefly. So the Redskins cheerleaders talked about how a trip that they take to the Caribbean where they're forced to do their photo shoots topless with sponsors watching, like not even staff of the team or staff of the organization, with they had to go out to nightclubs with these wealthy individuals. Basically, they're paid to like escort the people to nightclubs and just like all other types of weird things, like going to dinners and all types of weird things that you wouldn't, you might understand, like if being a full being a cheerleader was a full-time job, like, and even then it would be like, this is not a very safe workplace environment. You know, this seems very, very questionable, especially considering like the things that have come out recently about workplaces and about how we're trying to make them safer and more productive for women. But just in general, just like the idea that like, one, that cheerleaders don't get paid that much money, like a few hundred dollars per game, and they have these very, very, very high expectations for their job, especially when you think about like the Dallas Cowboys, the Redskins cheerleaders, the cheerleaders that are like very well like renowned in the league. And so I would implore you to look into the story to see like just how some people are being treated. It's crazy that when you see these stories about, you know, what other people have to deal with, you know, really like opens your eyes, you know, a tad. And the biggest story this week, I think, is the Boy Scouts dropping the word boy from the Scouts program and allowing girls to join. And so, like, I am like all for inclusivity and understand that that Boy Scouts is just, it's probably something that needs to be like overhauled. Just the idea that, you know, they're just now letting openly gay troop leaders in, when I'm sure there's been gay people in Boy Scouts for a while, because that's what I thought of when I thought about Boy Scouts, even, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. But the idea of girls wanting to join Boy Scouts, I feel like for me, thinking about it, it's like when I was in sixth grade, when I was in sixth grade, the girls used to come out of the girls' bathroom and they used to tell me and my friends just that they had couches in there and there was TVs in there. Like they had, you know, snacks and gushers and Dunkaroo vending machine, like all type, like they made the girls' bathroom sound like the best place ever, because in our girls' bathroom, it was like a door and there was another door, so you couldn't actually see in the bathroom. And you just, you know, you just, you didn't, you just wanted to know what was in there so bad that you, like, that you might wait until like everybody left the building so you could just go and see what was inside. And when you got inside, you realized that these girls are filthier than dudes, especially at that time, because I'm, you know, I'm 13 years old, and I didn't have any, you know, I was like kind of late when it came to puberty, so I hadn't even gone through puberty yet. And like, you'd seen it, like, you know, tampons and pads and the things that you're not uncomfortable with, things you're uncomfortable with at 12 years old, and you just realize, like, you know, maybe I shouldn't have tried to come in here ever, and I'll never make this mistake again. And that these girls are liars. And so I feel like that's what will be the same thing when girls join the Boy Scouts, is that they'll understand that, yeah, maybe it was better when we weren't in it. But that is the show. Thank you for tuning in. We do this every Thursday from 7 to 8 a.m. If you like listening to my voice, you can listen to me on Crimes and Treasons on Tuesdays from 8 to 10. We play the hottest hip-hop. Stay tuned. Till next week. Till next time. Have a great weekend.